Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Jedrick Golden, Austin American Statesman, UT, supposed to have their spring game coming up this weekend, although apparently the weather might have something to do with that or say about that. Cedric, thank you. With Paul Craig and Smokey, appreciate your time. So is it really an opportunity that the game could get washed out?
Man, we can only hope, Smoke.
Greatest answer ever.
Someone asked me my favorite part of spring football. I go, it's the game, because I know that cap's over. Good Lord, man. I mean, it's bad enough. We got to watch the USL just to get a fix. But I bet they play. I think it'll be. Just a shorter game. They're going to give the fans something to look forward to. Plus, they still want to evaluate some of the new guys they have coming. But if the weather's really, really, really bad, do you really want to risk blowing out someone's knee in April when it doesn't matter? We'll see. You know, I'll be trying to conjure up some thunderstorms. It'd be nice to have a nice Saturday off for a change.
Ask Dubai how they can seed the clouds in Austin, Texas. It might help out.
Yeah. That's a good question. That's a good point. Whatever we can get, this is April. Let's pretend it's May. Maybe we'll get some showers.
Cedric, is that a new feeling for you about the spring? Because I've found myself now having covered several of them. I know when I was early on, I'm like, hey, it's just another event, so another opportunity to, you know, tweet out stuff or pass information along, what have you, and enjoyed it. And then I've found myself the last couple of years just feeling much the way that you do. So I don't know if it's just an age thing, or is it perhaps, and I've wondered this, because there's so much other stuff going on, the portal and NIL and all these other things that are maybe more exciting or kind of take away knowing that, hey, the guys you see might not even be on the roster in a week from now. So is that like a feeling you've always had about spring, or is that kind of developed, especially here lately?
I've always hated it. I mean, okay. It's spring. And The one thing that would make it more bearable is if they let us watch more practices, where we could look with our own eyes and see what's going on, to get a look at these freshmen. They'll let us come to maybe three or four practices, but the 20 minutes in, they're kicking us out of there. So we get to watch them stretch and throw it around a bit.
Right.
But we don't really get to see what we get to see. The one thing, Mac Brown, and this was a different era, he would allow four or five practices in the spring we would watch from beginning to end, which I thought was great. I thought that was great because it's one thing for, like, Steve Sarkisian to tell you what's going on, and you quote him, but there's a part of you that kind of has to take him at his word. You don't really know, guys, because you're not out there.
Yeah.
You're not out there. Maybe if I'm out there, maybe they don't look as good to me as they look to him. And he's the football coach, but I know it's a different era. Social media, coaches are more secretive now. It only takes one person with a cell phone camera and text ability to send alignments over to the enemy camp. So I understand that part, but it makes my job, a lot less fun when I'm just only out there for stretching drills. Now, the one thing I will say is the portal has changed the dynamic of college football. The Texas Longhorns are practicing at 87 players right now. They're too over the limit. Somebody's got to go. So there are two guys out there practicing right now that aren't going to be on the team. And probably more than that, because I know they're going to be in the portal looking to plug some holes. So that does make it a little bit more interesting. I just wish we could watch more.
Cedric, I would love for you to write a column about how good a stretcher certain guys are. Like, man, he is super flexible.
top 10 stretcher.
My gosh, he's unreal. As far as like holes that Texas has to fill, is the defensive line the biggest area of concern? Because you lost two guys who are going to be NFL players and probably pretty good ones.
That's huge. That's the biggest one. You got to have some fat guys. You got to have some fat guys. Mm-hmm. And they had the two best. They had the best defensive tackle combo in America, in Byron Murphy II and Tavondre Sweat. They had two guys that could stuff the run and could disrupt in the passing game. And it's one thing to have one. It's a blessing to have one, but to have two, and the one that's being drafted. Projected to be drafted higher than the other is not even the Outland Trophy winner. Tavondre Sweat won the Outland. So it tells you how good they were. So guys like Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins and Sadir Mitchell are going to have to step up. Taoli Savea, the transfer in, he's going to have to step in and be a run stuffer. So you can't help but feel a drop-off where that happens. And don't we all know that these SEC teams that they're going to be facing are going to be running that thing right up the gut to see if Texas can tackle. Not only are they missing those guys, they're missing all Big 12 linebacker Jalen Ford, and middle linebacker. So those are the three biggest concerns for me. If I'm a Texas fan or coach, I would be very concerned about right up the gut on defense, because that's where they're feeling the biggest loss of talent.
Sed, what is the kind of atmosphere, the mood around the team right now, knowing what they just came off of, the not long-term goal of winning a national championship, but knocking on the door of it, so to speak, but also this conference transition that you just mentioned? I'd imagine there's a lot of confidence, but also just a lot of, you know, what's to come. How would you describe just sort of the mood in Austin surrounding the program right now?
Man, they're excited. They're excited. But the one thing the fan base needs to be careful about, you know, you just won 12 games in a season for the first time since 2009. And sometimes there's this tendency to go, okay, this is who we are. No, every season is different. They haven't shown that they can have 8 or 9 guys drafted and reload like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart did every year. That's the challenge facing Steve Sarkisian. Are they – have they arrived? Are they going to be this team every season? So I think the fan base is excited. They should be, because the schedule is very friendly for their first season in the SEC. They don't play LSU. Georgia's coming in here, but they don't play Alabama. They don't play LSU. The road games are A&M, winnable, at Arkansas, winnable, at Vanderbilt, imminently winnable. So it is a really good schedule. Now, they have to go to the Big House in week two, but that's a team in transition as well. Jim Harbaugh got out one step ahead of the posse, and they got that crying assistant. Raheem is replacing him, and there's no J.J. McCarthy. And so I think things are really bright right now. If you're a Texas fan, you're excited. The first season in the SEC is not a murderer's row of a schedule.
Cedric, you mentioned this is who we are. That's kind of what got them in trouble that led to a decade-plus long drought. But I think that's changed because of what Sark has done within the bowels of that program, within the guts of that program, and that's kind of how they've been able to weed all that problem out. But, man, they should be excited, the fan base, the team, and much, much more. Paxton asked this question, and when I first read the question, I was like, what? And then I realized so many things are changing in college football. Do they know yet which player will wear the headset or the speaker inside their helmet yet on defense?
No. No, I did. I missed Sarkisian today because I had an event I had to be at downtown. So when we asked him last week, he didn't know yet.
Okay.
He did not know yet which guy on defense. I think it might be Jahdae Barron, who's their best defensive back. But do you really want a guy that far off the ball calling signals? That's the question. I know some teams have safeties calling signals. I'm not sure. But it's going to be one of the biggest decisions that he's got to make in the offseason, because that can make you or break you, man. And communication is key, especially in this new environment that they're in, where they're going to be playing at the Big House in front of 100,000 people, at Kyle Field in front of 100,000 people, in Fayetteville in front of 100,000 people. It's the road games where that matters the most, because they're going to be yelling and trying to hinder your communication. So that's going to be a huge decision he's got to make. Now, if Jalen Ford were still on the team, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
It'd be Jalen Ford. He's the leader of that defense, that linebacker.
I can see Jahdae Barron being the answer there, but as you mentioned, wouldn't you want to have maybe a linebacker or somebody that's like up near the line of scrimmage, like Baylor's got that star type player or whoever, that's as much an outside linebacker as or a safety as anything else. We're talking to Cedric Golden, Austin American Statesman, with us on 365 Sports.
Cedric, I do have to ask you a basketball question. Tyrese Hunter, Dylan Mitchell, both in the portal. I know Texas has brought in some other guards as well. Was that shocking or was that expected?
I expected it. I really thought that Tyrese Hunter, just after winning Freshman of the Year at Iowa State, just had too much of a roller coaster ride here at Texas. He was good one night and just didn't show the next. Dylan Mitchell, for all of his great athleticism, couldn't make a 10-foot jump shot and been on campus for 2 years. What are you working on if you can't make a 10-foot jump shot? You can't live on putbacks and dunks. Not if you want to be an NBA player. And so I think it was probably best for them to move on. I mean, it's funny when I hear him talking about the NBA. Those aren't NBA players right now. They're not. Those guys aren't NBA players. I mean, Dylan Mitchell can compete in the dunk contest, but if you can't play, if you're not a good basketball player yet, you're not going to be in the league unless you're LeBron's son. I mean, they don't give out those hookups. So I think that they make the right decision for themselves, and with Trey Johnson coming in, And those transfers they just signed, I think Texas definitely upgraded. But I expect Rodney Terry to go and get a couple of more big guys. They're not very big right now.
All right. Well, Quinn Ewers is quarterback one, QB one. And Arch Manning was able to give everybody a little dose of what he did late in the year. And I thought it was pretty cool. And then, of course, on top of that, you have Trey Owens is dripping with this, like, tremendous amount of gifted talent. But we understand it's still Quinn Ewers' team, and he kind of proved that last year. What has been the reaction to Sark on how the quarterbacks have performed during the spring?
He's excited, man, because number one, I think if Arch Manning was named Arch Smith or Arch Smoke, he would have transferred. But he just happens to be the latest progeny in America's first family of quarterbacks, a bunch of millionaires. He doesn't have to chase NIL money. He's rich already. So he'll wait, and Quinn will be gone after this year, and it'll be Arch's team. So if I'm a head coach, I'm excited because I have two guys I know can run my offense. Arch Manning, Kirk Bowles and I were at Matthew Rancho 2 weeks ago, and Arch Manning was in there. I just cannot begin to tell you how big he is. He's a legitimately 6'5", 225 pounds. I mean, he's like Peyton Manning. And Quinn Ewers is 210, 207, somewhere in there. But when he's next to Arch Manning, it looks like a father-son game. I mean, Arch Manning is a big quarterback, and he can run. He can move. So you guys weren't – I don't think you were at the Big 12 title game. When he came in at garbage time, it was the big roar went up, and we weren't paying attention to the game because we were – that game was over. It was like a 30 or 40-point spread. And I looked at Bowles, I go, what just happened? Did Michael Jackson come back from the dead and walk onto the field? I mean, it was a roar that's usually reserved for a rock star. They love him already. So I think Sark's excited, and I know the fans are excited. Quinn Ewers has never – he hasn't played every game in the season since he was in the 10th grade. So the chance of him getting hurt is pretty good. So I think we're going to see some Arch Manning more than two or three times this season.
You've lost some – I say you. Texas has obviously lost what will be – how many, Paul? 12 to 15 guys maybe – will be that many? Michigan's going to have a bunch. Let's say 8 to 10 or 12 players drafted. If it's 7, fine. If it's more than that, that's great for the players drafted. There are some that are obvious. We mentioned Sweat, Murphy, et cetera. We know the ones they've lost. Who maybe that they lost that is not a big name could be one that they might miss more than people realize?
I think I miss Jonathan Brooks, a running back. Oh, my God, he was great. And he didn't even win the job at the beginning of last season. Sark gave it to C.J. Baxter. Jonathan Brooks, man, was just a he was the bell cow of that team. And he's already ranked with a torn ACL as the number one running back. Another guy to look out for is Christian Jones, the right tackle. Really turned himself into a good football player after some struggles early in his career. He's a very smart, cerebral, dynamic, has a little bit of a mean streak that you need for that position. Has an outside shot of getting picked on the second day, but would definitely sign a free agent contract. So those are the two guys. Brooks, he's back running, so he says he's going to be ready to go this fall. He got hurt, I think, in the Houston game, which was second half of the season. He's the guy to watch in this draft. I think if you're asking me who has the best career of anyone in this draft that's a Longhorn player, I would go A.D. Mitchell, the receiver, and Jonathan Brooks, the running back.
Well, the Cowboys are going to probably draft Jonathan Brooks.
Because he's hurt?
Well, because A, he's hurt, and B, because they love to do that. A, he's hurt, and B, their doctor did the surgery. And they believe anything he tells them. Because if you say, hey, how did you do the surgery? He's like, oh, I kicked ass. It's unbelievable. I'm great at this. And they're like, oh, awesome. And then they
got to give him credit, though. Remember Jalen Smith?
Yeah, but that was also a temporary thing.
No, I know, but no one thought he would ever play in the NFL, and they were the ones that found out how to give him a chance to play, which is good, too.
That's true.
Yeah, Jonathan Brooks Hallettsville, right? Hallettsville High School was just
that's
a –
right. That's
he
right.
He would have won the Earl Campbell – Tyler Rose Award, not Ollie Gordon, because he would have had the full year, and Gordon was great. He also would have probably been in New York.
Yeah.
Don't you think he would have been in New York at the Heisman presentation?
Maybe. It's such a quarterback's award now.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Maybe.
But he definitely would have been in line for the Maxwell and the Doak Walker.
Yeah.
And you know what? You mentioned the doctor. I wish the doctor had told Jerry to sign Derrick Henry. That would have been good. Since we're listening to doctors now. Where were they when those running backs were available? How about Aaron Jones? Where were they? Man, are they going to start Deuce Vaughn? Is that where we are right now? I didn't get it.
Steven today went on there and tried to calm the waters. They have spent no money, basically. And we'll have John Machota from The Athletic on today talking about today, about the Cowboys.
Cedric, and you've covered the Cowboys like I have. We've been up there together a lot of times. And one of the things that amazes me is, like, Steven Jones comes out today and says, listen, we've got to extend these contracts. Well, why is it harder for them than it is for everybody else? Like, the Eagles got Devontae Smith done like they talked to him for 2 days. Like, all right, here we're going to do. And it's so much harder for the Cowboys, and I don't understand why they've made it so much harder for themselves as opposed to the rest of the league, which seems to navigate through these problems pretty well.
I don't know. And I'm going to tell you, when you're talking about the three most important players on that team, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Parsons, it's not rocket science. Man, sign the contract. Get those guys happy and then build around them. Don't be waiting for the draft. This should be done before they draft anybody. I just don't understand why they make it so difficult. And the fact that they didn't get a running back. I mean, you could have gotten Derrick Henry for $18 million. He's got juice left. He's got some juice left. You could have gotten him for $18 million. You probably could have gotten Aaron Jones for less than that. I understand them staying away from Aaron Jones. He gets hurt a lot. But Derrick Henry is a bull who doesn't get hurt that often. I just don't understand that. And, you know, even though we're in a passing era of football, it always comes down to the team that can get a first down late in the fourth quarter. And I'm not betting against Derrick Henry in that option. I think he's still at age 30, 29, 30. He's still going to run for 1,200 yards this season.
I can only remember him being out for a little time. I think it might have been a year or two ago. I know it's been. But he is one of the things they did not do well was because even though Zeke had lost all the treads in his tire, he could still move a pile. You know, he's not going to be a 20, 25, even 15 or plus carry guy a game. But the one thing he did give them was some oomph on fourth and one or third and two or near the goal line, which they did not have last year. And Derrick Henry's going to give you that. Plus, he can go 50, what was the thought for you when you heard that they didn't even contact him, that they gave him no interest at all?
That they're cheap and they're trying to save money and they bought into that thing that running backs are washed up at 27. Quit listening to the pundits about running backs being washed up and look at it on a case-by-case basis. Derrick Henry is not washed up. Derrick Henry in Baltimore should scare Patrick Mahomes. I'm serious. Because Lamar Jackson no longer has to carry that load all by himself. Mm-hmm. That's a scary offense now. If Lamar Jackson gets the yips in the playoffs, just hand it to the king 25 times and see what they do with that. I think that's the perfect place for him, and I really think Dallas missed out on what could have been the final piece to them finally maybe making it to a championship game.
I have one other question for you. It's comment, question, whatever. I've seen this, you know, this thing that they were going to have this 10 divisions or whatever, this next level of whatever they're going to do with college football. And there was this story that came out a couple of weeks ago, and it basically is like evaporated. But one of the divisions or one of the conferences or one of the sections or regions they put together was basically like almost the old Southwest Conference. There is no way in hell that Texas and Oklahoma will revert back to that, is there? There's no way. That's why they're leaving, to get away from that. SMU, Houston, Baylor, Tech, et cetera.
No, they're where they're supposed to be. And it's not because what Del Conte said, oh, we want to play against the best. No, they wanted to go where the biggest bag was. The mouse is running this thing. This is an ESPN, SEC, Big Ten production. That's what it is. And in 10 years, there's going to be two giant divisions, and they're going to cut the NCAA out of the money, and they're going to allow the NCAA to run the basketball tournament. Then the SEC and the Big Ten are going to run college football, and there might be another conference, but it's going to be third in that tier, and they're going to have their own playoff, and then the other team's going to have to just settle for the bowl games. That's where this thing is going. Texas and OU are not going backwards. They don't want to do that anymore. They're right where they're supposed to be, and that's where the vault is, all of that money. And there's big money, and there's more to be had. This 12-team playoff, guys, is going to be a bonanza. And the Big Ten and the SEC are getting the big piece of chicken because they're the ones that are bringing the crowds.
Thank you for your time, Cedric Golden, who I've known since he was, like, very young. Back in the days when he wrote for the Tyler Morning Telegraph, Courier Times. I think it was like one of those, back when you had the newspaper in the morning and afternoon. Great guy, great friend of ours. Appreciate his time a lot there on UT football, even men's basketball.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.